God says, hallelujah, his presence is here. It's really easy to walk into his presence when it's here. When it's here, let yourself go. Let yourself go. Let yourself go. And just let him come. Just let him come. He goes.
Says in Psalm 31, but I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child.
I spot on, Tamsin. Absolutely spot on. Graham, can you play the first two clips for me, please?
Harper, do you want to go out in the rain? Do we go out in the rain? Why do we go? Here we go.
Oh no, we're getting away! Oh no! We're getting away! Oh no! We're getting
away! More? You want more rain? Okay, one more time. Here we go. Ready? Here we go. We're gonna go out there in the rain. Gonna get wet. Alright, here we go. Oh yeah, yes. So much fun.
Finally tonight here, America Strong, and this was quite the moment. Do you remember hearing a violin for the first time? It was music to his ears.
Tonight, the story of a baby boy hearing the violin for the first time. Thomas, just 11 months old here, transfixed, walking straight toward the violinist, studying her and her sound. He was at a music class for babies in New York, taken by Laura Zawarski, as she plays Can't Help Falling in Love. Standing before her, then walking in to hold her.
Is that okay? Sorry.
A smile from Laura as she looks down at her newest fan and perhaps a future violinist. And tonight, Thomas and his mother, Rachel, sending us this.
Hi, David. This is Thomas and Rachel. He can't talk yet. He can only say dada, but he showed her in his own way how much he loved the music. It was a beautiful moment of connection and joy when in this world we could feel so separate.
At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 4 from the New King James. At that time, the disciples came to ask Jesus, "Who is considered to be the greatest in heaven, in heaven's kingdom realm?" Jesus called a little one to his side and said to them, "Learn this well. Unless you dramatically change your way of thinking and become teachable and learn about heaven's kingdom realm with the wide-eyed wonder of a child, you will never be able to enter in. Whoever continually humbles himself to become like this gentle child is the greatest one in heaven's kingdom realm." Matthew 18, 1 to 4 in the Passion Translation. Seeing what was happening, Jesus called for the parents, the children, and his disciples to come and listen to him. Then he told them, "Never hinder a child from coming to me, but let them all come, for God's kingdom belongs to them as much as it does to anyone else. These children demonstrate to you what faith is all about. Learn this well. Unless you receive the revelation of the kingdom in the same way as a child receives it, you will never be able to enter in." Luke 18, 16 to 17, Passion Translation. Multiple times, Jesus tells his listeners they must become like children to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So what's he mean? What does he mean? And if this is, I want you to really think about this. There is a theme running through at the moment, the word that's been spoken, and it's about spiritual warfare. But Jesus said, "I've got to be like a little child." Is there a dichotomy there? How does it work? What's he trying to say to us? Interesting. I've thought about this long and hard. I don't have an answer. Right. It's quite interesting that in Matthew, after describing the importance of trusting like a child, he gives the teaching on the difficulty of a rich person entering into the kingdom of heaven. It's not a coincidence, I don't think. Jesus doesn't do coincidences. So we're meant to contrast the child with a rich person. Now, I would deign to say we are all rich. I would say that. You're rich when you can make a choice of what to have for breakfast. You're rich when you can make a choice of what to put on. You're rich when you can make a choice of whether to get up or lie down. That's prosperity. That's being rich. So, what's Jesus saying? The word for child here is toddler, right? And God's saying, you've got to dramatically change your way of thinking. Look at that little one in the rain. He wasn't worried about getting hair wet, clothes wet, having to change, all the things that we would think about. You know, what I would think about. I don't get my hair wet, I have to do it, my makeup will get done, all of that. None of that. Just fascinated with this shower, this downpour. What is it with children and loving to run into water and jump into puddles and get wet? Total fascination, no other thought. Notice where the child was. Safe. The child knew, I don't know if it was a boy or a girl, it was safe. As little children, what do we know that we're safe? It's one of the foundations of what's that? The psychological triangle thing. And the bottom one says, the first one is to know you're safe. Yeah? Do you know you're safe? Are you certain you're safe? No matter what happens as an adult, yeah, because there is that physical realm where you're actually an adult and you're supposed to be mature and you're supposed to do things. But do you know you're safe? I know I'm safe. I think about it when I'm sitting with Jesus. I know that I know that I know I'm safe. No matter what happens, I know I'm safe. Let me tell you a story from my life. I was married once. Notice that, I was married once. And I had an extremely violent husband who was supposed to be a Christian. That's between him and God. He tried to murder me 1, 2, 3 times. I'm not going into detail. Okay? And all sorts of violent things happened. And I remember one time I used to walk home from work, walking down from the bus to my home, and I'd be crying because I didn't want to go home. And I didn't know what to do because I'm a Christian. Because it's my foundation, it's where I stand. I'm a Christian, so I can't. All sorts of things flood my mind, but I can't choose my way. I know that. I know I can't choose my way. What's God telling me? How am I going to cope? How do I cope as a wife and a mom and all the other things? And I went before God and I sat and I said, who am I? Who am I? You define me because I've lost me. And I'm telling you, in the hard times, you know when you're safe. Because even though it was physically, God stopped it, actually. He stopped the physical stuff. He actually stopped it. He's amazing. And he worked, all the rest worked out. I'm not going to say anything. But it's in the hard times. You know you're safe. You don't know you're safe when there's no danger. You don't know you're safe if there's no danger. And you know that you know that you know you're safe when you've got your father. I have a father, he's 94, right? He still thinks that I am a little girl, right? Why he would think that, I don't know, but he does. And he still thinks he needs to protect me. When I went to see him at Christmas, now you're going to laugh. There's myself, my daughter, my granddaughter. We're all out. I left him his meal knowing he's going to go to bed at 6 o'clock. Why? And then we went out. We came back at 9:30. And he said, what time do you think this is? What time do you think taxis? Don't you know you're in America and it's dangerous? And I'm thinking, it's 9:30. You know, he's my father. And he was worried, you know, and I had to take 2 heart tablets and I exploded. You know, all of that, you know. But he's my father. He's not going to stop being my father. You're safe. You're safe. No matter what you go through as a child, especially, you're safe. Isn't it wonderful? Okay. And in the second clip, I'm not going to finish Graham, obviously. In the second clip, we had the wonder again. They're both awe and wonder, aren't they? The wonder of hearing. They were both first experiences. But have you ever heard heaven's music? Have you ever sat and heard heaven's music? It could just be here when Tamsin's playing something and you just transported. That wonder, have we lost the wonder? Be like a little child. The wonder of heaven. The wonder of God's presence. Peace that passes understanding. Have you ever had just storms happening in your life and you sit down to talk to God and there's peace? Oh, it's so heavenly. It's just beautiful. The wonder of a child. The way that the little one just sat at the feet. Sitting at the feet, there's a song here. Yeah, I'm not going to sing it. I always have a song. It comes straight away. But there is one called Sitting at the Feet of Jesus. It's an old hymn. When do you make time to sit at the feet of Jesus and not come with any agenda, not come to pray, just wonder? Sit out in the garden and look at a flower. I was going to show you, I've got pictures of flowers on my iPad. I was going to show you some, but I'm going to have too many things going on there. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Sitting at the feet of Jesus and just listening. Just enjoying. No agenda. No agenda. We're all parts of families. And yeah, we have. Everybody has their crazy part of the family. I'm not going to talk about crazy families right now. But the bits of the family you get on with, right? And I was with one of my sisters was 65 yesterday, and we did a surprise birthday party. And I was with loads of nieces and nephews and grandnieces and nephews and doing crazy stuff because I'm the crazy auntie, right? So I would roll on the floor and fight and do all of that sort of thing. They know what I'm like, and it's quite, and they'll dive on me and we'll do crazy stuff. And everybody will say, it's Auntie Winston, it's okay. You know, but when you look at a little one and they run to you and they go, they don't say a word. They just, it's expectation. It's that expectation. Like a little child. Like a little child. I just, yeah, so amazing. So, so amazing. So we're looking at characteristics of children. They have no preconceived notions, concepts, opinions, views, or beliefs. The disciples of John the Baptist approached Jesus with the question, "Why is it that we and the Pharisees fast regularly, but not your disciples?" And Jesus replied, "How can the sons of the bridal chamber grieve when the bridegroom is next to them?" Isn't it interesting? They said fast and Jesus said grieve. That's interesting, isn't it? But the days of fasting will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them. And who would mend worn-out clothing with new fabric? When the new cloth shrinks, it will rip, making the hole worse than before. And who would pour fresh new wine into an old wineskin? Eventually the wine will ferment and make the new wineskin burst, losing everything. The wine is spilt and the wineskin ruined. Instead, New wine is always poured out into a new wineskin so that both are preserved. Matthew 9, 15 to 17. Passion Translation. And these are from the notes. I'm just going to read the notes. So this, it says, the teaching of Jesus is new wine and new cloth. What Jesus taught cannot patch up the old religious system, nor can it be contained in a wineskin of worn out traditions. It is new, exhilarating, and powerful. It must be poured into a heart made new. The new and the old are not meant to be together. Jesus makes all things new. He didn't come to reform, and it says Judaism, but he didn't come to reform. He came to form a twice born company of people. Isn't that wonderful? We're all twice born. I always say to my sister, all my sisters are born again, and I always say, we're twice born sisters. We're all, you know, born and born. We're born and born. And that's just wonderful. Newborn, newborn. Can we have the next clip, please, Graham? What time is it? Okay.
Hello there. It's I, your cute and furry pug, Grover.
And I'm Zachary, and we are here to tell you all about today's word.
Yes, today's word. Let me get right to it. Boing, 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 boing,
Grover,
boing,
what are you
boing. I am demonstrating today's word. Boing, boing,
I'm
boing.
I'm not sure you are, Grover. You see, today's word is flexible.
Flexible?
Yes.
I thought today's word was bouncy.
I'm sorry, Grover. It's flexible.
Oh, no. Oh. Well, you know what? That is okay. That is okay, because even though my mind was set on telling the whole world about bouncy, I can easily change it and talk about flexible, sure.
Great.
If I only knew what it meant.
Actually, Grover, you were just being flexible.
I was? Well, what did I do that was flexible?
Well, flexible means to change or bend easily, and just now you had your mind set on doing one thing,
yeah,
but you changed it easily, so you were being a flexible thinker.
Oh, wow, I did not even know I could do that. What else can be flexible?
A plan can be flexible.
Oh, come on, Zachary, please. How can a plan be flexible?
Well, you know how tomorrow we're supposed to go bowling?
Yeah.
I can't make it.
Oh, no! No, Zachary, please!
Sorry,
tell me it is not so.
I'm sorry. Well, can you go any other day?
Yes, I can. I am free Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Well, you can change your plan easily, so you have a flexible plan.
Oh, no! What else could be flexible?
Oh, this straw can be flexible.
Yeah? What, does the straw want to go bowling with us, too?
No. Grover, but flexible means to change or bend easily, and the straw can bend easily, so the straw is...
flexible!
Flexible, yes.
Yeah.
And check this out.
Yeah.
Can this hose bend easily?
Yes, it can.
So this hose is...
flexible!
Flexible!
Oh, hey, I know something else that can bend easily.
What's that?
Cute and furry me. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I can do that, too.
Yeah? Oh!
Flexible!
Flexible! Hey, let's try the other leg.
Yeah!
Yeah. Uh-oh. Wow!
Flexible.
So the cat.
Children are flexible. New wineskins. New wineskins. As Christians, we've got to be flexible. We may have learnt in one sphere of influence or in one part of our life to do things this way, but we always have to check up on God. God, I know I've done this before. I know that I can quite easily do this. It's not hard for me, and it may be even something I enjoy doing, but is this the way you want me to do it this time? We have to be flexible with no preconceived ideas. That's the thing about children. So here we have an idea, a plan, a suggestion, or a possible course of action. 1 Samuel 30, verses 1 to 8. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites, who talked about the Amalekites today? Right. I'm just going to interject. It's got nothing to do with the sermon at all. When I love that story, and one of the reasons I love it is because it links to Esther, which is probably one of my favorite books in the Bible. If Saul had obeyed God, Esther wouldn't have had the problem she had, right? Because what she was fighting was the Amalekites. If you don't obey God here, you will have to fight him and obey him further on down the road, and you will cause your generation after generation problems. That's just the interjection. And that came from that. I just thought, that's it. If you always, my thing is, obey God no matter what, no matter how hard it is, no matter if I'm crying, I have learnt. If I'm crying, I'm going, God, I don't know how to do this. I'm scared. And I've told God loads of times I'm scared. Loads of times I've said, God, I'm really scared, but I'm going to obey, because I don't want my generations to have to follow and reap the consequences of my disobedience years later. Saul could have destroyed the Amalekites, full sweep, but instead the Jews were being wiped out by Haman. Haman was Amalekite. We have to be so careful. Right, so that's just an interjection, and I know I'm going to have to carry on after this. Okay, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it's burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever wept till you've got no more power to weep? I have. You know, it's not nice. And David's two wives, and Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his son and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue the troop? Shall I overtake them? And he, God, answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. 1 Samuel 30, verses 1 to 8. David, the mighty man of valor, man after God's own heart, right? This is a double whammy, because the Philistines didn't trust him. If you read it in context, the Philistine didn't trust him to go to war because they said he would turn against them and fight for Israel, which he probably would have, you know. So he's sent back, and when he comes back, he finds all the camp gone, the camp burned, and all the people gone. And I believe it was the mercy of God that they didn't kill everyone. I really believe it was the mercy of God that they took them captive. And David could have said, right, men, let's go. We know what to do. We know how to fight. We've captured so many. Let's get. And he could have just rallied them. He was in the right place to rally anger and vitriol and all of that, and use that for his. And he didn't. He said, God, what do I do? That's humility. That's a child. And this is a fighting man. David was a man of war. That's why God wouldn't let him build the temple. He said, you spent too much blood. There's another example And right, I'm going to stop. In fact, I might show the next clip, Graham, not straight away, in about 2 minutes. And then I'm going to stop because the time's going. Now when the Philistines heard that they'd anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand." So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated, and David defeated them there. And he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water." I love that. Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And they left their images there, and David and his men carried them away. Then the Philistines came up once again and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, and he said, "You shall not go up. Circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly, for then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines." And David did so as the Lord commanded him, and he drove back the Philistines from Geba as far as Gezer. Asking of the Lord, "Shall I do it?" Being that humility of a child. I am an adult. And I have to adult. Okay? I have to adult. But when it comes to God, "Yeah, Lord, I have your wisdom. I do have God's wisdom. He told me. But I have to ask. I can't assume. When I came, I'm not going to show the video. I'm going to stop now. When I came to Whitney, I came because the Lord led me here. It's a longish story, but not. And then when I came to Oasis and lockdown was finishing, and I said to God, "What am I here for? What's the purpose? What's the point?" And then He spoke to me about three things. First thing, homework club, children's ministry, and community garden. And I have taught children's ministry since I've been 10 years old. I led children's ministry since I was, after I left uni, I've always led children's ministry at some point in time. And when I retired, I thought, "That's it, I'm not going to do children's ministry." And when I asked the Lord, "What's it, children's ministry?" But I couldn't go to God and say, "Right, I know how to do it." I had to go and say, "What do I do? Because I've never started from this point before." I have started with a new church. My dad was an evangelist, so he's always starting churches. But I've never started from this point before. I have to ask God, children. And God's always, every day, He's always showing me something that I have to change. Because I have to, I like being in charge and I like to know what I'm doing. I like to plan and know where I'm going. As a child, I've got to come before God. And then next time, we'll talk about how that fights in with spiritual warfare. Go and be God's child and enjoy being God's child and enjoy running in the rain. Do you know, there's nothing better than the rain of God's presence. And enjoy the world. It's only lately, in later years, that I've found, that scripture where it says, He's given us all things to enjoy. I must have read it, because I've read the Bible loads. But He's given us all things to enjoy. So why are we miserable? He's given you everything to enjoy. So when we're praying, "Lord, what am I going to enjoy today?" Okay? God bless you. Oh, just before you finish, it's Valentine's Day tomorrow. Okay, I've got Bible sweethearts here. Now, I'm going to boast now. Sorry, Lord. I'm going to boast now.
I did this without looking in the Bible. I got them all right. So you can do them as a couple, or you can do them on your own, or you can do them as a friend. Okay. So there you go. All right. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.